So being Father's Day, and this morning we talked about Noah and how enormous of a task he had to save his family. And I don't know if you have sons and daughters, you know, a few different testimonies that don't know the Lord. But how far are we willing to go to reach them? And that's the enormity of the task. But eternity is in the balance. That's what's at stake. Our friends, our family, that's what's at stake. We want them to go to heaven. Peace of God that passes all understanding. And so we must do whatever it takes to reach them. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we come across two of the most remarkable men ever. And that is King David and King Solomon, the second and third kings of the nation of Israel. They left their marks on history. They are remarkable men. The time is as much as we know, but what would happen if they took us out of here and put us back in those times? Right? It would be difficult. It's so different than where we live today. And yet they have lessons here in this chapter where these two remarkable men are not known as kings of Israel or servants of God, but as father and son. It's the really human element of the people we find in the Bible. Sometimes we look at Abraham or Moses and Elijah, David and Solomon, and we just don't relate to them again, not just the difference of time, but as people. Remarkable acts, miracles of Elijah and Elisha, and so we don't relate to them as well. But you have the same God Elijah did. God is still God. Do anything he wants to do. God is not limited by our limited imagination. So God can do anything he wants to. But we need to remember that they were men. They were people. They were human. And we see David here as he's dying on his deathbed. It says in verse 1, the days of David drew nigh that he should die. So he's starting to feel that. And I won't ask you, but I'm sure that many of us have reflected in our lives and wondered when that day is coming for us. I hope you have made arrangements to that end. I hope you prepared the documents and the insurance and the arrangements to that end. And if you haven't, that'd be a good thing to do tomorrow. Get some stuff. Tell somebody where it is. Tell somebody what you want. Have the conversation. You know, because at some point it's going to be a reality. David knows it's coming. And he's trying to prepare his son for it. Verse number 2, David says to Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. What's his message? It's unavoidable. Death is certain. We are all going to die. Bible tells us that over and over, doesn't it? All will die. All have sinned. It's universal. And so we all need the Lord. We all need Christ as our Savior because we're going to stand before the judgment seat. We read that this morning. Be judged for our works. We know that. We're not going to get out of this. There's not going to be some other way. You say, well, what about the rapture? It's still going to come. It'll come even more suddenly than a funeral. All right, if we get raptured out of here, you'll have less notice than dying. So we know that the end is coming. Our lives are going to end at some point. And so not only is this the humanity of David, but the humanity of Solomon. Death is certain. And he's speaking to his grown son. And he says, be thou strong, therefore. Look, you're going to die. Be strong. Don't be weak. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Live. Live. Go out there and do some things. Go out there and make a difference. Go out there and have a presence. Make something happen. Don't be weak and skittish. Look at what he says. show thyself a man. Boy, they'd cancel him, wouldn't they? What was the impression here? I'll tell you what David was telling Solomon. Be masculine. Don't leave anybody to question your masculinity. You be a man. I wish that men would just be men. That doesn't mean you have to work out and wrestle lions and alligators, but be a man. Let's have women be women and men be men. I was looking the other day online. You ever go on? I wasn't shopping for it, but I saw the picture, and it said, the shirt says there are many genders. And then when you order the shirt, it says men's or women's size. I just don't know how they missed the irony in that. I mean, marketing that, I would have put unisex. Yes, only one size fits all. But look, David is telling Solomon, be a man. Stand tall. Give a good, strong handshake. Be a man. I know you ladies are going, what are you telling me for? But I know that you agree with this. We want men to be men and women to be women. Women to be feminine and men to be masculine. And I know that the culture is trying to tell us it doesn't matter. David, the king of Israel, tells the succeeding king of Israel, you be a man. You be strong. Don't be weak and cowardly, fearful, but be courageous. Unquestionably masculine. By the way, men have other traits too, don't we? We are decisive, even when we're wrong. We're decisive. But it's important to be decisive. Highways are covered with squirrels who couldn't make up their minds. Now they're flat. We've got to be decisive. We need to gather the correct information. By the way, the enormity of these two men and their impact on culture. You read the book of Proverbs. You read the Psalms. I'll tell you, these are two wise men. They looked at life. They studied life. They understood life. And now King David is telling Solomon, hey, you be courageous, you be a man, you stand strong, and you live life. But he's not finished yet. And this is good. This is good for us. I know that we're distanced from that time frame. I know that our cultures are different. I know that our surroundings are different. But we need to be what God called us to be and designed us to be, created us to be. He put us here. This time. They were in that time for that reason. We're in this time for these reasons. Verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Do what God tells you to do. Walk in His ways, His paths. Walk in the way that's already been laid out for you. Now, sometimes those ways will be pioneering ways. Sometimes you'll have to make a path where there is no path. As long as God is leading the way, that's His way. Who led Israel out of Egypt? Who led the Jews out of Egypt? Well, it was Moses. Yeah, but he was on a cloud. He was following a pillar of fire. He wasn't going just on his own. He was in that desert for 40 years as a shepherd for his father-in-law. And yet when it was time to go, God didn't say, Moses, you know the way, go the way. He said, Moses, you follow me. We need to follow his path, stay in his ways, walk in his ways, keep his statutes. And of course, we understand those are the laws. Those are the rules. That's what outlines. We talked this morning about micromanaging, how the Pharisees and Sadducees were micromanaging people by creating more laws. Jesus called it the of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. God has given us instruction, and He's given us enough instruction. We're not going to fall short if we follow God. He's given us statutes and His commandments. Solomon, you follow the rules of God. Now, here's the problem, isn't it? People say, well, I can't tell my kids how to live because I sure wasn't perfect. I certainly didn't do everything right that I should have done right. Well, let me tell you something. If you've done wrong in your life, you're not alone. But that shouldn't keep you from warning the next generation. It shouldn't keep you from telling everybody else, hey, don't do this. I did it. I was dumb for doing it. I'm paying the price for doing it, or I've paid the price for doing it. You don't do this. Well, he said, follow the commandments of God. We look at David. And we know David, right? He did a lot of bad stuff. He wanted to build God a house, and God said he can't build a house. He's a man with blood on his hands, man of war. And so he couldn't do the biggest thing he wanted to do in his life. So he didn't keep the commandments perfectly. But he tells his son, you keep the commandments. And God's judgments. And his testimony. Stay in the book. Read the word. Study the word. It needs to change how we think. It needs to change how we live. It won't if we don't read it. I like good preaching. But we need to read the Bible. I need to read the Bible on our own time, independently of everything else. Just read the Bible. It will help you. So he tells them, read it, or stay in his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Stick with it. And he tells him why. Why? Because it will benefit you far more than anything else you can do. It will impact your life in a tremendous way. That thou mayest prosper, we're still in verse 3, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. Solomon, no matter what you do, if you're following God, it'll be good. It'll work. If you're following God, you'll be blessed. If you're following God, you will receive the benefit of walking in His ways. You will prosper in all that thou doest. Well, what happens if I don't? Then you won't prosper. How many of us like to lose? I've said before, when losing doesn't matter to me, I'll quit coaching. And, you know, it's hard when you're teaching the kids, and, you know, especially in the little league, and you're supposed to be teaching fundamentals. I like to win. Coaches ought to want to win. Kids ought to want to win. It's competition. I mean, if we're just going to teach them skills, let's just have a clinic. If we're going to have a competition, let's win. Now, I'll say this. I've been a sore loser, but I've also been a good loser. I can't say that I've ever been a sore winner. I've always been pretty cheerful with that. But I like to win. And here's the thing. If we want to win at life, we need to do it the right way. But I guarantee this, if we go against God, we're going to lose. You'll be on the losing end if you don't obey God, if we don't walk in His, what does He say here? In His ways, in His charge, in His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, His testimonies, the law. If we don't, we'll lose. Guaranteed. Guaranteed we'll lose. Is there a chance it won't be fun even doing what God wants us to do? There is. Sometimes God gives us hard challenges. Sometimes God gives us things that are beyond our impression of what we can do. But God will never lead us to do something except He'll equip us to do it. We can count on God. But look at what He says at the end of verse 3. In all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, wherever life takes you. Said this morning, we've had different seasons in our lives, right? Different seasons. We look back on our life and you know, what you were doing decades ago, maybe you thought, this is what I will always do. And then maybe it changed. Life adjusts. Life changes. There's ups and downs and hills and valleys. But David says, Solomon, whichever way you go, follow God. It may not be your dream. Remember what Jesus said in Sunday school this morning? He that loses his life for my sake will find it. He that saves his life will lose it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It may not be what we had in mind. I'll tell you for sure. I had no idea when I was a teenager, and I know that's been a minute ago, that I would be where I am today. There are things that have happened in my life 13 months ago I would have been. You know? Life changes. And sometimes it changes dramatically. So what do? You follow God. You say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your direction? and you let God lead you. And as long as you do that, no matter how life twists and turns, you'll be all right. You'll succeed. Verse 4. That the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me. David brings up a great point. David said, God has already started something, and He'll continue it in you. But there's momentum. It's already in the works. How many of you have ever had to start over? Anybody ever had to start over? Okay. And in life, sometimes we've just had to start over. Either a career, a whole different career than what you thought. Education, relationships. We just had to start over. Clean the slate, start again. Momentum is a lot easier, isn't it? David says, hey, Solomon, God's already got something going. Jump on, hang on, follow God, and this could grow to unbelievable heights. But if you don't follow God and God changes it all, you have to start over again. Follow the momentum. Follow what God's already doing, which He started in me, in verse 4. Let's read it. The Lord may continue His word, which He spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So this royalty, hey, David was out there keeping the sheep. Was David happy keeping the sheep? Sure was. He was happy, man. He is loving it. Taking care of the sheep, whatever came about, he had no problem with it. They said, hey, we need you to play some music for the king. He's having some mental trouble. Can you come play some music? They went and played music. Loved playing music. He spent all his time out there playing that music, that harp, shepherd's harp. And so Saul got to like him. Well, David went back to keeping the sheep. He loved it. You think he ever said, I want to be king of Israel? No, he said, I want to be a shepherd. They said, take some cheese and bread to your brothers. They're out there in the field, the Valley of Elah, the battle games, war games. David went out there with cheese and bread, and he saw this big, ugly Goliath out there, and he saw what was going on. He said, he shouldn't be talking about God that way and God's people that way. Well, what do you want to be when you grow up? A shepherd. Well, I said, but he shouldn't be talking about God's people that way. Well, what are you going to do about it? I'll go whoop him right now. No, said, I don't think you should do that. Brother said, that's a bad idea. What did he do? Reached down and got some stones, got one for Goliath and one for each of his brothers, took that slingshot that he's used to, you know, you sling that and scare away the coyotes or the lions or the snakes, whatever it is, and he'd use that slingshot. He took that sling and he killed that giant. What do you want to be when you grow up, a shepherd? Well, they said you can marry the king's daughter. That turned out to be a bad deal, didn't it? She was mean. And then one day, Saul was king. Who was next in line? Jonathan. He loved Jonathan. Man, they were best of friends. David, you want to be king? Oh, Jonathan's going to be king. Never had that in mind. God says, you're going to be the next king. David became king. Now, he says to Solomon, God started something. Let's not blow this. What about Jonathan? Did Jonathan ever become king? Why? Because Solomon blew it. Solomon did what he shouldn't have done. It could have been his heritage. It could have been his family. It could have been his legacy. But Saul blew it. He didn't obey God. Didn't follow God. He destroyed God's plan in his life. And so God reached over and takes David. And David says, Solomon, it's fragile. How long does it take you to build a reputation? How long does it take you to really gain good testimony among people? To gain their trust and their confidence? How long does it take you to ruin that? Solomon, we've got something started here. Don't mess it up. It's just that fragile. We see the power of grudges. You know, as I look at this, and let's read verse number 7. He says to Solomon, "Show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." He says, for Barzillai, he says, "I want you to take care of them. I want you to be friends with them. They were good to me. You take care of them." Okay? So that's the generosity. That's the kindness past the next generation. But what we see, unfortunately, is that humanity again. You see, David comes to the end of his life. He's ready to pass the baton, pass the throne on to his son. But he's still holding some grudges. I don't want to die with grudges. I don't want to die being mad and looking back and remembering the people that did me wrong, betrayed me. But it's hard to get over, isn't it? David's on his deathbed, and yet he's still looking back decades ago to where people betrayed him. He says in verse number 5, "Thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins and shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom." And that would have been enough, right? Hey, Solomon, I just want you to remember that not everybody who's on your side is on your side. Not everybody is in your corner. Joab was a friend of David, and yet he betrayed him. And to throw caution and say, "Solomon, look, just remember, look beyond the surface. Just remember, be careful who you trust with all of your secrets. Be careful who you put in positions of power. Watch somebody when you give them authority and see what it does to them, how it changes them, if they abuse that power." But that's not what he said. He says, "Solomon, Joab betrayed me. Kill him. Don't let him die a natural death. Let not," verse 6, "let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace." He said, do not let him just fade off into history. Why? David's still holding a grudge. Verse number 8, "And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim, but he came down to meet me at Jordan." Remember this? Remember Shimei? As David was leaving, he was kicking rocks and throwing rocks and kicking up dust and caught. And Joab, I believe it was, Joab said, "David, you want me to go get him? I'll kill him right now for saying ugly things about you." David said, "No, everything he says is true." I mean, think about that when people are running you down. Sometimes what they say is true. Jesus loves me anyway, but I'm not a perfect man. God loves us anyway, but we're not perfect. David says, "No, just let it go." But David didn't let it go, did he? He's still holding a grudge. He's still mad about that. He says, verse number 9, "Therefore hold him not guiltless. Thou art a wise man, knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood." Kill him. The humanity of David. So we see the positive: follow God, live right, be a man, be strong. You'll prosper if you do what God tells you to do. God's already got something started. Just don't mess it up. And then he tells him to kill two people. It's the ugliness that coexists with our faith. Everyone in this room has the capacity to do evil. Watch the news. Something terrible happens. Get the neighbors out there. "I never would have thought he'd have done that. I never saw any of these qualities in that person." Everyone in this room has the capacity to do evil. is fragile. Let's hold on to the good stuff. Let's hold on to the beginning of his dying words where he says, walk with God, walk in his ways, his statutes, his commandments, his testimonies. Follow God's charge. Stay with God's momentum. Stay with what God's already set in order. Be friendly to those who are friendly to us. Be cautious of those types that betray. But stay with God. Don't hold a grudge. Let it go. Here's David dying, and he's still imprisoned. He's still chained by grudge. It's not eaten. You think Joab's worried about that every night, losing sleep over it? You think Shimei loses sleep over it every night? He doesn't. We're the ones losing sleep when we hold a grudge. And so we see a father and a son in dying moments. And he says to him, go with God. Let's stand. Father, we are thankful for the words that we found tonight in your word. We pray that you will draw us to you. We pray that we will guard ourselves against grudges, against hate, against revenge. And most especially that we'll never share our vengeful spirit with others, that we would involve them in our sin. God, that we would love and we would encourage and we would bless. And for those that we can't, that we would just avoid. I pray that we will make a difference this week, that we'll find opportunities, that we'll see the opportunities you set before us, that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. In Jesus' name.